I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. As you're doing that, I got a message from my wife that my granddaughter who's watching, her little three-year-old, wanted me to say hello. So hello, Mia, and Tanner, and Camden, and all the rest. Luke chapter 15, I would just begin reading this passage. It's really a wonderful chapter of Scripture that goes so well with what we just sang about the reckless love of God. I think to understand the reckless love of God, you have to understand the typical leadership style at the time of Jesus, the typical religious tone at the time of Jesus, and we get a little glimpse of it here in the first couple of verses. It says in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them?'" What a scene, right? You have all the sinful people, the dirty people of the world, all very excited that Jesus showed he wanted to change their lives. And then you had the religious people who were supposed to be helping those people change their lives, muttering. I love that word. You can just use your imagination if you don't know what that is. Muttering. They couldn't believe that this holy man, the supposed Son of God, the one we're supposed to be worshiping, is with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and hard for them to understand. Even in the non-Christian world or the non-religious world, in the pagan cultures, that'd be hard to understand too, because we always try to appease the gods to win their favor, and here was Jesus trying to win over and eat with tax collectors and prostitutes. It says, "Then Jesus told them this parable." Them meaning the religious folks. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' And then Jesus says, 'I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent.'" You know, I'm glad this wasn't actually a quiz, a one-question quiz, because I would have gotten a zero. I mean, think about that question. If you're a shepherd, you're responsible for 100 sheep. 99 are compliant, they're obeying your voice, they're doing what you say, they're staying in their lane, and one stupid, idiotic, rebellious sheep decides to go off on his own. Should you leave the 99 who are safe and in your care and listening to you and to go after that one? I would say no. That would have been my answer. That sounds stupid. 99 is a great grade for a shepherd. I read something this morning about this passage, and it said that in that culture, there's no way one family would have 99 or 100 sheep. That it would be likely that the wealthier families might have 15 sheep, but many families would just maybe have two. And so this shepherd who would have been asked to care for all these sheep, it's quite possible that he's having to make a choice. You only have two sheep. And one of them just got away. And if you're a shepherd after God's own heart, you know what a loss that would be to that family for even one to get away. Jesus doesn't work the odds. A 99 grade is not good enough for him. You know, I don't think it makes sense to leave the 99 unless you see yourself as the one. You know, communion is a time where us ones come to celebrate that the Good Shepherd was willing to go anywhere to save us. You know, I don't know where he went to find you. I know where he went to find me. I know my attitude toward him for most of my life was rebellion. It was wanting to do my own thing, wanting to live in a dangerous part of wanting to explore what I wanted to explore. I think about today as I prepare to take communion, where my life would be today if he had not left the 99 to go after me. The reckless love of God has also chased you down. The reckless love of God fought until you were found. The reckless love of God said there's no dark place he wouldn't be willing to go to shine light to find you. There's no wall he wouldn't kick down. There's no lie he wouldn't tear down coming after you. So whether you have been found by Jesus or not, or whether you're still lost, know this. If you are still lost, he's coming after you. He will relentlessly pursue you as long as it takes. You know, Guy Hammond shared his story over the weekend, and I don't know if we'll get a little bit of it now, but he talked about how long and deliberately and recklessly God spent going after him, going into the dark places that he went, just pursuing, 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 pursuing. It only seems reckless, that love, if you don't know the outcome. But for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now sits down at the right hand of the Father, celebrating, filled with joy because of the ones who remember what he did for them today. You know, I want to rejoice too at the ones. I want to rejoice about this one. I want to rejoice about these ones. All that have been found because of the reckless love of God. You know, communion is a time we come together. We don't feel better than the person sitting next to us because we sinned in a different way. We feel humbled that Christ was willing to give it all up to save each one of us. Let's pray to our gracious God. Father, I want to first just express my deep gratitude for the places you had to go and the number of times you had to go there to pull me out of my rebellious and dark ways. God, to see this story and to imagine this picture that Jesus tried to paint for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Christ, the Good Shepherd, not stopping until he found us, picked us up, put us on his shoulders, came back and said, let's celebrate. Father, I know as a sinful man, I don't imagine heaven celebrating. But this is what the scriptures say. And Jesus said it over and over again in this chapter. He compared it to a poor woman who had lost a valuable coin and just wouldn't stop until she found it. And the rejoicing that came about from finding that lost coin. And then the very gripping story that we all are very familiar with of the rebellious son who is like that wandering sheep that just went a very different direction than his father had ever imagined. And yet when that son was finally found and rescued and brought back on the shoulders of Christ, there was a great banquet in heaven. Father, we participate in this banquet feast right now, remembering the effects that Christ's sacrifice has had on us. Thank you, Father, that you don't just accept us, that you embrace us and want to have this meal with us. We pray in Christ's name, amen.